Once there was a civilization, much like ours, but with a greater intelligence, greater powers, and a greater capacity for good.
Even though you've been raised as a human being, you are not one of them. Above all, their capacity for good. I have sent them you, my only son.
Good evening, folks. Welcome to the Light of Day with your host, Sheldon Day, coming to you live on Orion, the Orion Talk Radio Network, Saturday night, October 23rd, 2010. Welcome to the Light of Day show. Well, this is Light of Day show number 31, I believe. I've done, I believe, 30 shows now. I'm just checking here on that. It's been 30 shows I've done already. Well, anyway, we're going to get warmed up with some sound bites I want to play here. And then we're going to get into the massive UFO deception that's coming our way. Some reports, asteroids, and some other good stuff. Again, you're listening to the Light of Day show. We're going to go into this sound bite to get us all started here. Stay tuned.
Federal government, continuity of government, contingency planning has to be done in 1 month. December 31st, 2009. They've been at this for 30 years, since 1979, getting ready for the horrendous, violent earth changes that are coming. It's only been it's not quite 2 years that I started to even comprehend the effects of a coronal mass ejection. As I was scratching my head for years, I thought, why in the world is the federal government spending all this money for these very expensive underground complexes? When you start building underground, ladies and gentlemen, you basically triple or quadruple the price of your construction, maybe more. I haven't seen the numbers, but it's a massive increase in cost per square foot. That's what they've been doing for 30 years now, always kind of lingering in the background. Earth changes, violent, abrupt climate change. Dramatic increases in volcanism, dramatic increases in seismic activity, and eventually, violently, rapidly rising ocean levels. Eventually. No, it will not happen January 1st, 2010. This will be a matter of months, probably a couple of years, as things grow increasingly worse with these matters. You'll know what to look for. You'll see these things happening. When it comes to something that's important, you need to do some homework. Put these Google searches in there to find the government press releases about what they're doing, moving critical infrastructure away from these oceans and into the middle of the country. Critical infrastructure, especially the intelligence agencies, military, the libraries for the EPA, the library for the Vatican being moved as we speak. All these things are right there on my DVD, and you can find the official press releases announcing it. People love credentials. How about supervising astronomer of the United States Naval Observatory, Dr. Robert Harrington? being interviewed in his office in Washington, D.C. at the United States Naval Observatory. May be the most important 10 minutes of video you ever see in your life. If you're going to draw a paycheck for looking at stars, that's about as serious credentials as a human being on this planet could ever hope to have. Supervising astronomer of the United States Naval Observatory. And when he granted this interview, that's exactly what he was, talking about the 10th planet. Talking about the 10th planet as a matter of scientific fact, not scientific speculation, given its size, its density, and its orbit. Time is short. I don't have a specific date. We have a time frame. Basically, from now forward.
Between now and 2013, the Earth will experience horrific cataclysms and at an ever-increasing pace. They will be the result of a large object, generically referred to as Planet X, and it will soon pass through the core of our solar system. This object was first observed in 1983 by NASA's Infrared Astronomical Satellite, more commonly known as IRAS, and was reported in the September 10, 1984 edition of U.S. News and World Report. Many times the size of Earth, it is very large and dark and dusty, and will not be visible to the naked eye for a few years. When it does, it will appear in the sky like a smaller second sun before it leaves the core of our system. While man-made pollution does aggravate global warming, the inconvenient omission is really dealing with the interaction between the Sun and Planet X. You see, it is the Sun that is the principal engine of global warming. There are simply not enough resources to save everyone. In fact, most will be left to fend for themselves because our governments will have a higher agenda. That being, to ensure the survival of our species. Industrialized governments all across the globe are working feverishly to launch a vast fleet of solar observatories into space. Many of these satellites are already operational, and they will help our governments to sound the alarm in time for us to seek shelter from the deadly radiation of violent solar storms. Eventually, the time will come when those chosen to survive the coming cataclysm by our governments are spirited away into vast networks of subsea and subterranean survival arcs. So who will they be? There are the obvious choices, such as the military and those with political connections. Their primary role will be to help our government ensure its own continuity. A second goal, and equally urgent, will be the survival of our species. That need demands special survival profiles. Obvious survival profiles will be those of physicians and caregivers. To help us rebuild our world after Planet X passes, we'll need a next generation of intelligent, educated professionals and scientists of healthy breeding age. Most of these will not know they've been chosen until they are taken away from their loved ones. There will not be enough room nor resources to keep both them and their parents and grandparents alive. As painful as the separations will be, those who watch their loved ones being taken away will feel a genuine gladness in their hearts. Meanwhile, those chosen will come to feel the weighty burden of a new and profound responsibility. The brave ones will accept it. For those left to fend for ourselves, it will be panic as usual. We'll learn that rigid thinkers become fragile survivors.
You know, they just had a major update here on the Skype software, so I might have to reset something, but I have no idea when the break's going to start here, so I'll just try to hope for the best, I guess. If you're listening to the Light of Day, we should have gone into the break already, but I'm not hearing the cue in my headset if the break has started or not. I got to learn how to use the Skype here. They had to do a major update, and now it shows a totally different screen for me. I put this update on Skype today. Okay, all right, there's the commercial music. All right, folks, you're listening to Light of Day with your host, Sheldon Dan Orion, Saturday night, October 23rd. We'll be back. Stay tuned.
Anytime he needs it, but you turn your back.
ourselves, it will be panic as usual. We'll learn that rigid thinkers become fragile survivors. America's military might will be recalled from overseas posts and retasked to the business of maintaining martial law throughout the nation. There will be no guarantees for those chosen by their governments to survive, as well as for those left to fend for themselves. But there will be those who are prepared. They will plan their routes to safe havens long before the early signs of crisis become undeniable. Then, when the time comes, they will be prepared, and they will know how to act calmly and quickly. As they make their way to safety, they will join with like-minded others and form small survival groups, where service to others is the rule and not the exception. Eventually, Planet X will leave us in peace once again, and the steadfast few who have survived through a philosophy of service to others shall arise from the ruins. They will embrace this new future with humility, compassion, tolerance, and above all, love.
Well, hello, folks. You're listening to The Light of Dan Orion. We're live Saturday night, October 23rd, 2010. That's some Bill Cooper bites, sound bites I'm going to play tonight. First of all, be sure to tune in the John Moore Show tomorrow afternoon on Republic Broadcasting. He's on from 1 to 3 West Coast time. We had as far as Earth changes go, we had a natural gas pipe that ruptured in the San Jose area, and there were evacuations that ensued from this gas line rupture that happened on the 21st, which would have been Thursday. Coincidentally, California had a major statewide earthquake drill on the same day called the California 2010 Shakeout Exercise. Like I said, folks, according to me and John DiNardo, the reason these gas lines are rupturing is because of earthquakes which are being caused by the inbound passage of Planet X. Stan Dale was on the Coast to Coast AM radio show on October 20th. I'll just read a summary of what he talked about on there. You know, it's interesting, Stan Dale never talks about Planet X. He finally seems to be waking up or trying to get the word out to the people that there may indeed be a massive celestial body out there. Anyway, the Coast to Coast recap says, physicist and author Stan Dale discussed such topics as earthquake swarms, Planet X, solar flares, UFO technology, and biblical prophecy. A comet or other body with an egg-shaped orbit might account for a Planet X that psychically approaches Earth, he said, adding that something is perturbing the orbits of Neptune and Uranus. Holly Dale, which is his wife, joined the conversation and gave statistics about earthquake swarms in Arkansas, Oklahoma, California, and Baja, Mexico, as well as Saudi Arabia, where some 30,000 aftershocks have taken place in a volcanically active area. 30,000 aftershocks, folks. Stan Dale reported that the Hopi are preparing for extreme solar activity that will burn grass and trees by building underground facilities. Solar flares will cause major disruptions, including severe weather and food shortages, he suggested. Regarding UFO designs, he described how small craft can be linked together to form a triangular section, and then a fake skin can be drawn over them to create the illusion of a gigantic mile-wide spaceship. Stan shared his belief that the New World Order is stepping up its plans. Citing biblical prophecy, he further warned that a great deception will fool people into accepting an alien god in tandem with the arrival of the Antichrist. And I pretty much tend to think along those same lines. And that's why we're going to play these Bill Cooper sound bites tonight. Actually, something I took out of a 1994 show that he did. So I look forward to playing those. I got this from Kimberly on my email list. There was an earthquake swarm in the Gulf of California on the 20th, which would have been Wednesday. Those ranged anywhere from 4.4 to 5.8. Now, on the old scale, that would be 5.4 to 6.8. And I got this here from Gilbert Erickson. It's titled Mars Deepest Canyon May Have Been Blasted Out by Planet X. Gilbert sent me that on Tuesday. This canyon on Mars is more than 4,000 kilometers across, and the European Space Agency's Mars Express spacecraft obtained an image of this canyon on July 1st, 2006, using its high-resolution stereo camera. I'm not going to go into detail on that, but that's just a side note, something that Gilbert had sent me. You know, some of us Planet X researchers do believe that Planet X is between Mars and Jupiter at this time, and it would make sense. Yeah, maybe that canyon did get blasted out by Planet X if it's indeed right by Mars at this time. Oh, let's see what else we have here. We're just about ready to go into a break. Darren, he's another host here on Orion. He made me aware of an asteroid story that I would like to read. This was put out in space.com. Keep in mind, space.com is a government mouthpiece for NASA, so there is going to be some disinformation in here, but the fact that they're reporting this may indicate that they're becoming very concerned about inbound asteroids. Articles entitled Planetary Defense Coordination Office Proposed to Fight Asteroids by Leonard David, posted October 19th. A new report calls on NASA to establish a Planetary Defense Coordination Office to lead national and international efforts in protecting Earth against impacts by asteroids and comets. The final report of the Ad Hoc Task Force on Planetary Defense of the NASA Advisory Council was delivered to the Council this month, proposing five recommendations that suggest how the space agency should organize, acquire, investigate, prepare, and lead national and international efforts in planetary defense against near-Earth objects. That article goes on and on, but I do have a dot connector here. I got this from Eric W. on my email list. On the last space shuttle mission slated for February 23rd of next year, it's interesting what they're going to be ferrying up into orbit. Space Shuttle Endeavour on February of next year will deliver spare parts, including two S-band communication antennas. Well, there's the break. We'll be back, folks. We'll continue with this article after the break. Stay tuned. You're listening to The Light of Day on Orion. Welcome back to The Light of Day on the Orion Talk Radio Network. This is your host, Sheldon Day. We're live Saturday night, October 23rd, 2010. Well, back to this thing I was reading here, this inbound asteroid dot connector. It pertains to the last space shuttle mission planned for February 23rd of next year. Space Shuttle Endeavour will deliver spare parts, including two S-band communications antennas, a high-pressure gas tank, additional spare parts for Dexter, and micrometeorite debris shields. Micrometeorite debris shields. This will be the 36th shuttle mission to the International Space Station. For those aware of what that remote viewer Major Ed Dames has stated about the kill shot if you've seen that Killshot video, he states that the Harbinger sign that the Earth changes will be very, very close would be an indication of a space shuttle being forced to come down because of some type of celestial objects that may hit the space shuttle. So once you connect all these dots together, things really start to make some sense. Now back to this notepad that I couldn't find before. This was posted on spaceweather.com 2 days ago. A sun-diving comet. The solar system now has one less comet. On Thursday, a sun-diving comet discovered on October 19th by Chinese amateur astronomer Bo Zhu passed too close to the sun and apparently evaporated. A coronagraph on board the SOHO recorded the death plunge. The comet was likely a member of the Kreutz Sungrazer family. Named after a 19th century German astronomer who studied them in detail, Kreutz Sungrazers are fragments from the breakup of a giant comet at least 2,000 years ago. So here we got a comet, you know, plunging into the sun. Remember Professor McCanny back in, I can't remember. It must have been back in February, March, or April. There were four comets that slammed into the sun. So as Planet X comes in, you know, it's going to be pulling and pushing this debris field of rocks a quarter of a million miles on either side of it, according to John Moore. And it makes you wonder, are we starting to already witness some of these space rocks coming in? By the way, July of last year, NASA, which is the military, classified all incoming space rock data as classified information. So that's another good dot connector, folks. I got an email here. I can't remember how to pronounce this guy's name, but he shows me in an email a NASA graphic which shows near-Earth objects which have increased exponentially starting after 1997. From 1997 to 2004, there's an exponential curve on the graphic showing the incidence of near-Earth objects. And 2004 would have been the last major change on the graph. And if you folks recall, Professor McCanny said, and I think it was 2004, 2005, that the Wormwood installation down in Australia was busy with professional military and astronomical types of people that were indicating that a mini solar system was coming into ours. So, you know, the timing here with what I'm talking about on this NASA near-Earth object graphic showing the exponential increase of near-Earth objects, in which the last major change on the graph would have been in 2004. That would coincide with almost the time that Professor McCanny stated a mini solar system was coming into ours. Now, I have a Vivos Underground Shelter member alert that I'd like to read. Bill Alec up in Sedona, Arizona, sent me this. By the way, I was listening to his show this morning. Him and Aurora Light are going to be relocating to, the Scottsdale area. Something happened where they live up there, and I can't remember what they were mentioning. But I got this from Bill Alec on Wednesday. The Vivos Cryo Vault to preserve the seeds of humanity. You can be a part of the next genesis by securing your genetic material in the world's only blast-proof underground cryo vault designed to survive the next life extinction event. All Vivos members now have an opportunity to protect and continue their family lineage for the potential repopulation of the Earth following any future massive devastation of humanity. The Vivos Cryo Vault will help to preserve the genetic seeds of humanity and animals in a modern-day Noah's Ark. Unlike a mere sperm bank, the Vivos Cryo Vault is not a donor program for selective or designer reproduction, but rather a nuclear blast-proof, fully staffed and secure underground facility with liquid nitrogen freezers to maintain thousands of mature reproductive unfertilized cells, such as a sperm or ovum. Vivos is a life assurance solution for people around the planet to survive the next Earth-devastating catastrophe, whether natural or man-made. The Vivos global network of co-ownership shelters are built to provide up to a year of autonomous underground survival from virtually any future mass extinction event. With the addition of the Vivos cryo vault and the gathering of specimens from an entire cross-section of society, a greater chance of the repopulation of the planet will be more possible for a genesis to occur. Although choosing to give samples of one's DNA and genes will not directly benefit the donor, it will, however, give the honor and satisfaction and peace of mind that comes with the knowledge that the smallest specimen of one's very own genetic information can make the greatest difference and play a significant role in the reformation of humanity and the continuance of their bloodline. A tremendous advantage to the Vivos Cryo Vault is that it is co-located in the same underground shelters designed to accommodate hundreds of people, thereby providing the ready population base for future insemination. This process is affordable even to those who are unable to own a share for a personal space in a Vivos shelter. For a nominal fee, anyone on the planet can collect a sample specimen of their reproductive gamete cells and ship them in a special refrigerated container to Vivos, where they will be processed for freezing and subsequent immersion in liquid nitrogen. The cells are first checked to ensure their fertility and fruitfulness, and to ensure that multiple sperm will survive the freezing process. Specimens are also tested for pathogens, blah, blah, blah. They'll be cooled to 273 degrees below zero Fahrenheit before being stored in one of Vivos' nuclear blast-proof shelters. Keep in mind, folks, I remember I read on my show maybe two or three weekends ago that the Vivos had put out a member alert that they were selling spaces for shelters underground in the state of Nebraska. So they've been quite busy getting prepared for something. To further ensure each sample's chance of survival from earth-changing catastrophes, donors are also giving the option to have their specimens stored concurrently on two separate continents within the massive North American and European Vivos shelters. The Vivos Cryo Vault provides an effective double indemnity and redundancy for each member's chance of their specimen being used to repopulate the earth along with a wide cross-section of society in a potential genesis program following a massive global catastrophe, states Robert Vecino, president and founder of Vivos. He further adds, life is vulnerable at any moment. Civilization can be destroyed along with the bloodline of every man and woman on Earth. This is an unprecedented opportunity for everyone to preserve and ensure their family lineage in solidarity and in preparation for whatever may be ahead for the human race. Okay, so I got that out of the way. Well, we'll probably be coming in the break here in about a minute, maybe less than a minute. Yep, there's the break. We'll be back. You're listening to Live Dan Orion. Stay tuned. Well, hello, folks. Welcome back to the Light of Day with your host, Sheldon Day, coming to you live on Orion, Saturday night, October 23rd, 2010. Well, we're going to finish up Earth changes and then get into the massive UFO deception that the powers to be are ready to launch upon the public. Indian Ocean volcano erupts. Travelers immediately get nervous. 25 people injured. I got this off of Cheryl Nelson's website. This was posted, 3 days ago. Photographers and volcano enthusiasts, which is apparently a category that exists, have been all agog about the recent eruption of the Pitan de la Fornais volcano on Reunion Island in the Indian Ocean. Scientists have known that something like this was coming for at least a few months, but as always with seismic events, prediction is as much as an act as a science. Eventually it happened, and now we've got our second eruption of the year for the volcano. With all the fun travel possibilities that big ash problems potentially present. Keep in mind, we had that volcano over in Indonesia that erupted many, many weeks ago. That sucker hadn't gone off in like 400 years. I think Ann Morrison said on the Nutramedical Report with Dr. Bill Deagle that, this might have been 3 to 5 weeks ago, that there were something like 20 to 23 volcanoes in the Caribbean that are ready to erupt. So volcanism is definitely on the increase as Planet X comes closer in. Well, folks, be sure to tune in the John Morse Show tomorrow on Republic Broadcasting Network. He's on from 1 to 3 p.m. West Coast time. And be sure to tune in the John DiNardo Show here in Orion Sunday evenings. I believe that starts at 9 p.m. Eastern time. John DiNardo is my Planet X research associate. Well, I guess we're going to go into this UFO deception thing. I made some pretty neat sound bites of former radio talk show host Bill Cooper that I'm going to play here. I'm hoping that Jessica and her mother, Sally, are listening to the show tonight. I did send them an email to tune in. Well, to get us started off here, there was an airport that had to shut down over in China because of a massive UFO sighting. John Moore sent me an email back on October 10th about this. There's a firefighter's manual that talks about how to deal with UFOs. Yeah, here it is. I'm just pulling it up as I'm speaking here. John Moore said on October 10th that he typically does not address the matter of space aliens publicly. When he does, he's very careful about what he says. He likes to quote from the firefighter's manual regarding what to do when encountering an alien craft, and that is, don't get between it and the ground, you'll get radiated. Now, John Moore has confirmed to his own satisfaction that we have at least recovered one or more alien spacecraft and reversed engineered at least some of its technology. He's also convinced that many, which are probably most UFO sightings, are United States Air Force vehicles. I want to read a write-up that Bill Cooper did here before I play his sound bites tonight. Bill Cooper on the fake extraterrestrial threat from space. The plan for the creation of a socialist world government is protected by an invented extraterrestrial threat from space. Oh, I also wanted to mention, folks, that they were having these UFO crash drills over at some schools over in the United Kingdom. Forgot to mention that. And there's also a village down in China that I heard George Norrie says that just totally vanished, and there was a UFO in the area. So something big is going on with the way they're ramping up this UFO phenomena. But back to the Bill Cooper write-up. The plan for the creation of a socialist world government is protected by an invented extraterrestrial threat from space. The entire UFO phenomena and the ufology movement has been created to further the protection and activation of the plan. By the way, folks, I did a pre-recorded interview with Norio Hayakawa that's posted on my homepage as a podcast link. Me and Norio talked extensively about this mass UFO deception, and you can go to my homepage and just click on that. That's a Windows Media audio file. It's about a one-hour podcast that I did with Norio yesterday morning. We also talked about the underground base outside Dulce, New Mexico. Well, back to the Bill Cooper write-up. Within Majesty 12 is Operation Majority, which contains the plan justified by presenting the alien threat as the reason for the necessity for world government. Operation Majority is named after the original Bolshevik Party, which sparked the Russian Revolution. Bolshevik literally means the majority. The plan states that if the American people are ever told of the supposed alien presence, the aliens will destroy the United States. All who have access to the plan or who inadvertently discover the plan are silenced by that warning. A further safeguard is that anyone who links the so-called alien threat with the coming world government will be ridiculed and discredited by the press. When Mr. Cooper saw the plan in the Navy, he believed it. It was not until he had performed many years of research that he was able to fully understand exactly what it was that he had seen. It was difficult at best for him to believe that his government and the Navy had used him in the manner in which they had done, especially since he had dedicated his life to government and military service. Keep in mind, folks, Bill Cooper was identified as the most dangerous radio talk show host in America back in the mid-90s by former President Bill Clinton. The plan, folks, is real. The alien threat is imaginary. The alien threat is presented as real through the use of secret technology originally developed by the Germans in their secret weapons programs during World War II, by geniuses like Nikola Tesla and, of course, many others. Most military and government personnel who have access to this material believe the extraterrestrial threat is real, although none of them has ever seen any evidence of the existence of any extraterrestrial creature or any sufficiently advanced technology other than that of human origin. Also, all so-called leaks are intentional disinformation projects which are designed to promote the alien threat scenario while allowing for complete deniability on the part of the government. The antics of Vicky Cooper, Don Ecker III, William Moore, Jamie Shandira, Stanton Friedman, Bud Hopkins, John Lear, Linda Howe, Art Bell, George Knapp, Colonel Phil Corso, the so-called alien autopsy film, and many others appear to be projects of this type. The plan to create an artificial extraterrestrial threat to the Earth was first mentioned by John Dewey in New York during 1917 in a speech to the visiting Japanese imperial delegation headed by Viscount Ishii. The premise was tested for credibility with a CBS presentation of The War of the Worlds by Orson Welles and the Mercury Theater on October 30th, 1938. The public believed it was real, thus setting the stage for the implementation of an alien threat scenario. The only problem was that the state of the art of technology at that time did not allow for a believable presentation. The development of saucer-shaped, wingless, and tailless flying machines by the Germans during World War II solved the problem. The announcement of the Jewish Holocaust and proposal of a world government which would prevent future wars and genocide by the formation of the United Nations in 1945, and the announcement of sightings of flying saucers by Kenneth Arnold in 1947 launched the deception. The natural guilt harbored by the men of the 509th Atomic Bomb Wing after the bombing of Hiroshima and Nagasaki made them eager conspirators in orchestrating the faked crash of an extraterrestrial craft and discovery of shaved and surgically altered monkeys near Roswell. The extraterrestrial threat was launched into the public conscience. Applying Hitler's concept of the big lie, the artificial extraterrestrial threat was nurtured and built into an always-present possibility over the next 50 years until a large percentage of the world's population found themselves believing in alien ships, extraterrestrial visitation, alien mutilation of animals, and alien abductions of humans with absolutely no proof that ETs exist anywhere in the universe, much less than that any have ever visited this planet. The artificial threat is further advanced through the mind control programming of Marxist and Hollywood television advertising, publications, and the ufology movement, all of which are in the complete control of the Illuminati and the intelligence community. Fear is instilled through the incidental use of terror inspired by the cattle and animal mutilation byproducts of the government's radiation monitoring projects. We'll be back. Stay tuned for Hour 2.